The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network, the Expat Broadcasting Group, the staff, management, or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
Remember always to walk, don't run when considering a move overseas. Welcome to Mike's Gringo Life in Nicaragua, a wonderfully surprising country. Join Mike and hear real expats tell their stories and much, much more. You'll also enjoy interviews with expat entrepreneurs, feature reports, cultural updates, and the inside information you need to know before you move overseas. Now, here's your host, Michael Cobb, and a peek inside Mike's Gringo Life.
Good evening, and welcome to Mike's Gringo Life, coming to you on the Overseas Radio Network from Managua, Nicaragua. Good evening, everybody. Tonight's broadcast is pre-recorded, so there will be no live call-ins, but if you have a question for myself or for one of our guests this evening, please do drop us a line at mike@mikesgringolife.com, and we'll forward that on to our guest if it's for them, or if it's for me, I'll be happy to get an answer right back to you. Keep those questions coming. Well, this evening we've got a great lineup of folks, kind of going far afield this evening, across a lot of different spectrums. The first guest coming in our second and third segments tonight is Ben Phillips. He's with the Save the Children organization, just a fantastic group of folks doing much needed service here in Nicaragua and throughout the world. In fact, Ben and his family have been expats in Tajikistan as well as Africa, I think Nigeria and a couple other places in Africa as well. So they're pretty seasoned expats at this point and now living here in Nicaragua and enjoying life here, and you're going to hear about what he's doing specifically with Save the Children. And then you also hear from his daughter, Amanda, will be interviewing. He has two daughters. Amanda will be interviewing Laura this evening, and Laura will be talking on the Expat Kids segment with Amanda about her life here in school and activities and what it's like to be a kid growing up in Nicaragua, Managua specifically. We usually start with a little weather forecast. I don't have the data, but I am looking out the window. It's overcast, and the temperature is 88 degrees, according to the computer. It feels about right, and it's a very comfortable afternoon here in Managua. Fourth segment this evening will be Kent Payne coming in to talk about Grand Pacifica. Grand Pacifica is a company that I founded with some other folks about 12 years ago now, and is the reason that I moved to Nicaragua in 2002 and have lived here since then. Kent is our vice president of sales. He'll be talking about what Grand Pacifica is, why it's unique, why it's different. And if folks out there are looking for a piece of property, he'd certainly love to hear from you if Grand Pacifica fits the kind of thing that you're looking for. And he'll be here to tell us about that. And then next week, we're going to have he and his wife come back and talk about what it's like to be an expat, because not only is he the VP of sales, he lives at Grand Pacifica and has lived there for 4 years now with his wife, Denise, and they'll be in to talk about what it's like to live at Grand Pacifica, what it's like to live in Nicaragua, and sort of the some of the adventures of being expats here in country. In our second hour this evening, Amanda will start it off with her Expat Kids segment with Laura, and you'll hear what they're up to. And then to close out the program, we've got Lauren and Chuck talking to us this evening about their upcoming wedding. A very exciting possibility. They're thinking about getting married here in Nicaragua. And Chuck Cassano, he's a longtime friend of mine. Met him many years ago when he was with a company called Agora Partnerships. They're doing great work here, sort of a free market-based idea of how to do development in Nicaragua specifically. They come in, they help folks get started, they provide some of the seed capital up front, venture capital, and then work with these small companies and help them to develop their business plans and throughout the process to develop their business and markets. Chuck did that for quite a while and got a real interest in Nicaragua, and then turned around and started his own small company. And he's going to be in talking about what he's doing in the pitaya juice industry. And he's featured as our expat entrepreneur this evening. And then our final segment is his local partner, Will Burke. Will is also involved in agribusiness here. He's working in the dried fruit business very holistically. He uses organic produce. He uses solar ovens to dry the fruit and has a great market in the United States for those dried fruit products. So Will will be in. And he'll be talking to us about how he's doing and some of the challenges of being an expat entrepreneur. Let me run into a couple other ideas on that same theme. The whole idea of expat entrepreneur, that's something that I'm familiar with. Obviously, I have been working in Nicaragua since the year 2000, so 12 years. But before that, in Belize since 1994. So a lot of experience working in the region and being an expat entrepreneur. It's a wonderful experience, and I highly encourage folks to take advantage of the opportunity if it so moves them to want to come to this part of the world, Nicaragua specifically, or anywhere down here and start a business. There are so many things that are needed here and so many services that you can provide, whether it's domestically or to foreigners, expats like we do in at Grand Pacifica. Again, lots and lots of opportunities. The thing that I try to caution folks, and one of the topics that I'm writing about right now, which is why it's on my mind, I'm writing an article for publication, and it's called Galt's Gulch, South of the Border, and we'll try to get that up on the Mike's Gringo Life website once it gets published. But it's a two-part article, and it talks about how so many folks in the U.S. are just kind of fed up with regulation and over-regulation and taxation, and they have this real sense that maybe Galt's Gulch is south of the border, and for some of us it is. I've got to admit that I have found my own little Galt's Gulch down here, but it's not problem-free, and it's not the idyllic concept that Ayn Rand puts out in Atlas Shrugged. It's the reality is always very different from what can be written in a book of fiction, but the reality is wonderful indeed. It just comes with ups and downs and positives and minuses like any other piece of reality that we come in contact with. So for folks out there thinking about starting a business overseas, Nicaragua again specifically, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email at mike@mikesgringolife.com. Be happy to share some of the articles and due diligence work that I've done in the past. I've been joking around for many years now that, I got an undergraduate degree at a small college in Northwest Pennsylvania, Allegheny College. Great place to go to undergrad. And right after that, I got into computer sales and was in that for a number of years. But my joke is that I did eventually go back and get a PhD from the Latin American campus of the School of Hard Knocks. And that has certainly been the case. I've paid a lot of tuition over the years to pick up some very, very important lessons on what works, what doesn't work, what works well, what works moderately well in terms of operating and running a business in this part of the world. So the article, Galt's Gulch, South of the Border, encapsulates some of the bigger themes, and certainly be happy to pass that along again once it's published. The other thing I'll be doing is sending out a bibliography with that. So if folks are interested in taking a look at some of the books that I've read over the years that, again, are just phenomenal reads and great insights into some of the cultural factors that affect the business process in this part of the world, be, again, very, very happy to share those with you. It's a quick little bibliography of three books, and if you send me an email to mike@mikesgringolife.com, we'll get those right out to you. Well, I'm going to get off the air now and start to introduce some of our featured group segments this evening. We're going to be bringing in Ben Phillips next, and we'll look forward to hearing from him and what he's doing with Save the Children. This is Mike from Mike's Gringo Life on the Overseas Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Do you dream of owning your own vineyard in one of the most stunning locations in the world? At La Vida Buena Vineyards, this seemingly impossible dream can come true. Located in one of CNN Money's top five places to retire in the world, La Vida Buena Vineyards in San Rafael, Argentina, is a 100% turnkey investment opportunity. At La Vida Buena, we plant your choice of grapes and employ an experienced management team, including a bilingual CPA, to supervise and protect every aspect of your investment. We also pay your maintenance fees for the first 2 years, and at year three, our monthly fees are a fraction of the cost of what others are charging. Unlike similar developments that charge to stay at their on-site hotels, you can stay for free as our guest at our on-site estancia. Visit us at lavinabuenavineyards.com to find out more about this unrivaled opportunity. View the prime parcels of land available, but don't delay. They are selling fast. Realize the impossible dream. Visit lavinabuenavineyards.com right now.
You've decided that you want to move overseas for that quality of life experience you've always dreamed of. But you don't want to give up the best of back home. We agree. Things like high-speed internet, safe neighborhoods where you can stroll along a shaded sidewalk, a place where you know your neighbors and you have friends close by. These are important. Grand Pacifica Beach and Golf Resort gives you the best comforts of back home paired with the exceptional lifestyle only available south of the border. Imagine strolling along over 3 miles of secluded beach, playing a round of golf along the ocean, surfing a world-class break all the yourself, enjoying a fine meal on your balcony and toasting to another spectacular sunset. All this and more can be yours only an hour from Managua. Complete home and lot packages start under $100,000, and a nice home on the golf course is yours for the mid-twos. Come visit for a weekend and enjoy our oceanside golf course. Ride horseback on the beach, meet your future neighbors, and make some new friends. Grand Pacifica may be a place you'd like to call home. For more information, email Mike at MikesGringoLife.com. That's Mike at MikesGringoLife.com.
Establish your business in one of the most extraordinary cities in the world. Connect to a market of over 1.8 billion people from Dubai. Over 1,400 companies from around the world have made Dubai Airport Free Zone their Middle East and Africa headquarters. Dubai Airport Free Zone was rated one of the top free zones in the world. Let us help you set up your operations at Dubai Airport Free Zone and expand your market and sales in Asia and Africa. Call us at 214-537-9665 or send us an email at info@dafz-usa.com. That's info@dafz-usa.com.
Panama and Financial Services. Rich Novak, your sovereign man in Panama, knows about a Panamanian credit union currently offering certificates of deposit, paying you interest rates ranging from 4.25% to a whopping 8.5%, depending on the term and the amount of certificate of deposit. For the complete story, contact Rich Novak, your sovereign man in Panama, at ispanama4u@yahoo.com. That's ispanama, the numeral 4 and the letter U at yahoo.com, or phone toll free 800-492-1888.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
Welcome back to the Overseas Radio Network. This is Mike with Mike's Gringo Life, coming to you from Managua, Nicaragua. I'm here with Ben Phillips this afternoon with Save the Children. We're enjoying a fine afternoon out on his terraza. This segment is pre-recorded. But if you have any questions for Ben or would like to be in touch with him, send me an email to mike@mikesgringolife.com, and we'll pass it on to Ben, and he can get back to you. Ben, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks a lot. It's great to be here, Mike.
And it's nice to have a retry. We started this a minute ago, and then we got interrupted by dogs and kids, and so we had to do a retake. But, we were talking a little bit about your background, and you've been an expat a couple different places, Tajikistan, Japan and now Managua. So tell us a little bit about your history and how you ended up, you know, getting all the way to Tajikistan and then eventually here to Managua.
Okay, well, I've been working in overseas international development and humanitarian aid programs for basically all of my professional life, most of my adult life. I started in Guatemala. I was a volunteer in the U.S. Peace Corps. I stayed in Guatemala where I met my wife. I worked there for a few years after I got my master's degree, too. Then I worked for about 10 years with Catholic Relief Services in a few different countries. I was in Sierra Leone and in Honduras and most recently in Uganda. And then when I left CRS, I joined Save the Children. I was hired to manage their Central Asia program based in Tajikistan, but also covering Kyrgyzstan and Uzbekistan. I was there for just over 2 years. In fact, we'd planned on staying there longer. My family and I really liked it, but for a long time, we had been looking for an opportunity to come work in Latin America, or particularly Central America, because we wanted our girls to get some more. They speak Spanish at home because my wife's Guatemalan, but we wanted them to get some more, like, formal schooling in Spanish, to get the written Spanish. And there aren't as many job opportunities here in this region as compared to some of the other regions. So when this opportunity came up in Nicaragua, we decided it was wise to take advantage of it, even though we had been planning on staying a bit longer in Tajikistan.
And how long were you in Tajikistan?
Just over 2 years, about 2 years and 2 months.
2 years and 2 months. Your girls went to school over there.
Yes, that's
did
right.
They go to an international school, an American school? What was it?
It was an international school. It's called Quality Schools International, and they run a whole chain of schools in kind of sort of out-of-the-way places that don't have as many, you know, services or as many other international schools. So they've kind of got that market. They do use, it's a U.S.-style curriculum. Okay. It was a very small school. There were only about, I think, 30 or 40 students in it total.
Oh, wow. And I got to plead ignorance. I don't really know Tajikistan very well, but you were in the capital, I guess, and so.
We were in the capital. The capital city is called Dushanbe. It's a small city. In fact, it was originally a market town until around the beginning of the 20th century. The Russians, was part of the Russian Empire back then, before the Soviet Union, and they turned it into their administrative capital for the region. It was called Dushanbe because it's where there was a market every Monday. A Dushanbe is the word for Monday in the Tajik language. So.
Okay. And so you were with Save the Children in Tajikistan and also here in Nicaragua. Tell me a little bit about the kinds of programs you're doing here in Nicaragua specifically.
Okay, well, here in Nicaragua, we have a pretty large or pretty complex program portfolio. Our largest programming area is in education, particularly in supporting preschool education, because a lot of children that enter the Nicaraguan school system, particularly in rural communities or in poor urban communities, they're not really prepared to do the schoolwork yet for first grade. So the idea is to support local community preschool learning centers so the children can be better prepared and better able to learn once they join the school. We also work with the primary schools themselves on improving the quality of the education. We work with the education ministry on giving some training to the teachers, because a lot of the teachers working in the public school system here haven't really had good training on sort of modern, more participatory teaching methods. It tends to be very traditional, you know, kind of authoritarian style teaching, which isn't as effective. So we're helping improve both access to education and the quality of education. Another big area for us is health and nutrition. We work with the health ministry on reaching out to a lot of rural communities where people aren't able to go to a health center or a hospital just because it's too far away. So we're training local health volunteers, they're called health brigades, so that they can diagnose and treat illnesses when it's needed to. If people aren't able to get to a health center, even the local health volunteer can diagnose, for example, diagnose pneumonia and give the first doses of antibiotics so the person can start treatment before they get to health center. Also working with pregnant women and women with young babies, making sure that, you know, proper infant feeding practices, monitoring their weight, having, you know, weighing sessions every month so we can see that the baby is gaining weight according to the, you know, how they should be growing. And if they're not, seeing what we can, you know, helping the woman, helping the family to see what they can do to improve the baby's weight gain. We have another program, which is child protection against violence and abuse, working with local community organizations on issues of, you know, violence that happens in the family, violence in schools, and seeing how we can protect children. We also work with different authorities such as the National Police and the Immigration Authorities and the Judicial Training School on anti-trafficking, because child trafficking and human trafficking generally is a big problem in this region. young women, teenagers can get taken through. Sometimes they get tricked because people tell them they're going to get a job, and it turns out to be a job in the commercial sex industry. And so we work with the authorities on trying to put a stop to that. We also work in disaster risk reduction. Nicaragua is very vulnerable to natural disasters. You periodically have flooding communities. You know, when it rains a lot, the rivers grow. People are flooded out of their homes, or you have sometimes large-scale flooding because of tropical storms and hurricanes on the Caribbean coast. It's vulnerable to volcanic eruptions in certain regions, earthquakes. So we work with communities on improving people's own capacity to on early warning systems and to be able to respond and make sure people can evacuate quickly, get to a safe place on higher ground. Because often, but by the time organizations come in to deliver assistance, that can be too late for some people, and we need to make sure people are prepared and they're able to respond themselves and help their own communities in the case of a disaster.
Well, absolutely. I mean, an ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure, and you're right. So often aid organizations are in after the crisis helping to clean up, which is also very, very important. But my goodness, if we can get in ahead of time, yeah, we can make a much bigger difference. I'm noticing the time. We're at about 7 minutes into the segment. We've got about a minute and a half to go. If it's okay, can we keep the discussion going? We'll roll into a second segment.
Because I've
written down a bunch of questions I want to ask. So
okay, that's fine. I don't want
to... let's keep this thing going. This is fascinating. Let me come back and pick up on something you mentioned. You do these educational programs in preschool, right? Helping kids get ready to go to first grade. And I know that we had a foundation here that did a lot of that kind of work in B.L. Carmen. And what I'm wondering is, and B.L. Carmen's a very rural municipality. In fact, it's one of the poorest municipality. I guess we would call a municipality a county, but anyway, a municipality here in Nicaragua. It's one of the poorest ones in Nicaragua with about 50% unemployment. And I know that for us, it was a big challenge working in the countryside versus working in an urban environment from some logistical issues. When we come back after the commercial break, I'd like for you to pick up on the idea and sort of your experiences and challenges working in an urban environment versus a rural environment. Would that be okay?
Okay.
Oh, great. Well, this is Mike on the Overseas Radio Network coming to you from Managua, Nicaragua, on Mike's Gringo Life. We'll be right back.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
With Overseas Radio News, I'm Dennis Daly. Well, Queen Elizabeth II is celebrating her 60th anniversary. Some of us are old enough to remember that when her father, George VI, died, she had to come back home from overseas. At the time, she was only 25. Speaking of the royal family, Prince Philip has blasted modern-day architecture. Philip, long a worldwide expert on buildings, says today's buildings are energy-guzzling boxes that will only have a short lifespan. Bill Clough is here with another in a series of reports on worldwide safety.
Now we turn our attention to the Middle East in general. Israel, for example, saw a banner year for tourism last year, and many tourists went there to see if the Jewish state was right for possibly setting up housekeeping sometime in the future. Its close neighbor, Egypt, saw a bad tourism last year. The upheaval in that country, covered in detail on worldwide television, gave possible visitors and immigrants cold feet. The level of unrest in the Eastern Mediterranean has always dictated the level of tourism. I'm Bill Clough.
European officials are asking the internet company Google to wait before it asks users to look at a very small privacy statement. Google wants to use the same statement across a wide range of services, but some European regulators feel that Google's privacy policies are not one size fits all. Finally, efforts continue in the Philippines in the wake of that recent 6.9 earthquake. Most of the deaths happened in buildings that either fell apart or were the victim of landslides. Rescue work has been hampered by ruined roads. Overseas Radio News is your best source when it comes to living abroad or just visiting the world to see what's out there. I'm Dennis Daly.
Are you a business owner looking for startup opportunities? Need info on ways to preserve and grow your wealth? Then you need to join us for the 14th President's Week Forum for Asset Protection and Global Investment, March 10th through 14th. In wonderful Ambergris Key, Belize, you won't find a more comprehensive gathering of international experts anywhere. Many of our speakers will not even speak at public gatherings, but are only willing to share their insights at a private invitation-only event such as the President's Week Forum. The President's Week will feature international experts from various business backgrounds. The forum remains invitation only to those who qualify and accredited investors interested in global business, economic, regulatory, legal, and finance matters. If you meet this criteria and would like to join us for the 14th President's Week Forum on Ambergris Key, Belize, contact Mary Alderson at area code 412-749-0500.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Overseas Radio Network. This is Mike with Mike's Gringo Life coming to you from Managua, Nicaragua. Well, when we took a little break, we were talking with Ben Phillips from Save the Children, and I wanted to get into some of the nuance of, you know, what it's like to work in the region in a service organization. And we were kind of talking in between segments here that, you know, it's an interesting case study of people that want to come down, they want to contribute, they want to help, but sometimes it's very difficult because their skill sets aren't exactly what's needed. But you know, we don't want to obviously dissuade people who want to come and help either. But I think one of the things we want to kind of get into in this next segment is talking about some of the complexities and nuances of what it's like to work in a service industry, but also in Nicaragua specifically. And the one thing that I remember from working with our foundation was when we looked for some help from some organizations here in Managua to help us in the countryside, there were some challenges that the folks used to the urban environment hadn't really thought of or hadn't really dealt with in a rural environment. So tell me a little bit about your experience. It doesn't have to be specifically urban-rural, but maybe some nuances of what you do and the challenges you face and how you're able to, you know, work through those challenges.
Well, one thing that we tried to do in general is Save the Children. We're an international organization, or really we're an international network of organizations, because there's Save the Children United States, Save the Children Norway, Save the Children Canada, 29 different national member organizations, at least seven of whom are active now supporting our program here in Nicaragua. But what we try to do, since we know that we are not a permanent part of the society here in Nicaragua, most of our programs are implemented in partnership with local organizations, whether it's local government institutions such as the education ministry and the health ministry, but also local organizations from the communities. And that really helps, because we do have programs here in Managua and in District 6 and some of the poor urban neighborhoods, but we work with local organizations from those areas that know the neighborhood, they employ local people, they've been there for years, they will continue to be there for years, hopefully forever. And our other programs that we implement in rural areas, such as in Matagalpa, in Jinotega, in the North Central regions, in the North Atlantic region, in the West, we work with local organizations that are from those regions. So they know, again, they're part of the landscape there, they're part of the culture. They know the community really well, they know the nuances, which can really change. A big challenge we have had is in the Atlantic Coast region. We work in some communities where it's a different ethnic group, a different culture. The people that there, for example, Mayagna-speaking communities, yeah, or Mosquito-speaking, right, communities, and that's really different. It's just as different as coming from, say, from the United States to Nicaragua. And we had some of our own staff, even if they were from, you know, very nearby, only 15 minutes away, but they speak a different language. They're from a completely different culture, and it's just as, you know, difficult for them to. You know, they would come and complain, oh, it is so difficult to work in these indigenous communities. I said, well, I bet they think that we're difficult, too. Thing we needed to do to adapt to that reality, we ended up having to look at, you know, when we hire staff, we realized that we were always requiring qualifications for positions, like a certain number of years of experience, a certain educational level, and the local indigenous people from those communities, nobody was going to meet those requirements. So we were only hiring people who really didn't understand the culture so well, didn't speak the language. So for certain positions where they were going to be working in those communities, we had to be a little bit more flexible on the educational requirements and the work experience, because we realized we needed to have some people who actually understood that culture. So that was something we experimented with, hiring local promoters who came from the culture actually, and it's something that really helped us building a bridge and understanding.
Yeah, did you face any organizational issues or bureaucratic issues from Save the Children per se on the whole concept of changing your qualifications, or were they pretty fluid on that?
Well, we're talking about people that we hire here in country, so at their national contracts, and the international headquarters office isn't really involved in those that type of contract, and we make those decisions here.
Got it. Okay. No, that's important because that whole idea of letting the folks in the country run that business unit, and I hate to use the word business unit, but it is a business unit, right? It is a business. That's right. The business of serving others.
Yes.
It's fascinating. I mean, the challenges we face. One of the things that you mentioned was the orphanage and the violence. And I remember my Spanish teacher when I first moved here was supporting an orphanage, and I won't say where, but somewhere outside of Managua, for the children and women who had been abused, to get them out of that home environment and get them into a safe environment, which is so, so important. And in the U.S., I mean, we've got really good formal legal governmental systems to handle those kinds of things. But in Nicaragua, there really isn't what I would say the kind of structure that we have in the U.S. and in North America. Tell me a little bit about your experience in terms of the structure of being able to do that type of thing, because obviously you're working more of an informal rather than a legal basis, or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well, here in Nicaragua, I don't know if you heard about the Programa Amor or the Love Program. It's part of the Family Ministry. That is the official governmental institutional program to deal with children who are just, for whatever reasons, are not in getting appropriate care from their families. It's not reaching all of the need, certainly not, but they are attempting to, and we work with them. We help support that program. It's under the direction of the First Lady. In general, with a model that we prefer, and not just in Nicaragua, but all around the world, we try to stay away from institutional care or to move countries away from that. It's just something that there are alternative models, community-based models, foster homes, trying to put people, in other, if their own family, for whatever reasons, whether it's economic reasons or psychological social reasons, aren't able to care for their children. It is much better if they can be put in another type of home or family environment rather than in an institution. And that's generally the direction that we're trying to move in. Some countries moving a lot faster than others. I mean, back in Tajikistan, where I was working there in Central Asia, as in, I think most of the former Soviet, the countries that used to be part of the Soviet Union, there is still a tendency to have these really large institutional environments for children in need of care. But it's just harmful. It's not something that is benefiting children, and it's something we're trying to help work against.
Well, and how about here? I mean, what's your experience here? Is it less institutionalized?
Here it is less institutionalized. They're doing a much better job getting, finding people, appropriate fostering environments. Now, there's still probably several thousand kids who are still outside the system and not being reached, so that, the resources aren't enough. We still need to be doing more. But slowly, slowly, we're getting there.
Well, that's right. I mean, we can't solve it all at the same time, but, I mean, obviously, having you here and doing the kinds of things you're doing, you're making a big impact, one kid at a time, right? Or many kids at a time,
yeah.
I hope. Yeah. You'd mentioned that you had worked with the Peace Corps, but also Catholic Relief Services. Just kind of give a couple minute, maybe 1 or 2 minute kind of description of what, what differentiates, say, the Catholic Relief Services from Save the Children. I've been familiar with some of the CSR people or CRS people over the years, but you're the first person I've really known in the Save the Children world.
Well, I think in both of the names, you can see a key difference. Catholic Relief Services is the official overseas Relief and Development Agency of the United States Catholic Church, the United States Catholic Bishop Conference. So it's part of the Catholic Church, the U.S. Catholic Church. Generally, most of the programs we work in partnership with structures of the Catholic Church in the different countries. Save the Children is not a Catholic or religious organization. It is secular. And also the big difference is our focus is on children. Sometimes we work with adults as well, because in order to promote the, a safe learning environment, promote the education of children, better health care for children, protection from natural disasters for children, we certainly can't ignore the adults that are in their community and their families. But our focus is on the right, the rights and the needs of children. Whereas with Catholic Relief Services, some of our programs are focused on children, but that wasn't the overriding focus.
Got it. Okay. I guess one of the women I knew that was running the program, one of her, I guess what her major focus was children, and that's why I was trying to understand if there was a differentiation. But broadly, I get that. You are very, very focused on the, on
yes.
the children's needs. Okay. You know, we've got about a minute and a half left. I want to make sure you have a chance to tell folks how to get a hold of you or get a hold of Save the Children if they'd like to make a donation or be in touch before we wrap up.
Well, that's great to have that opportunity. People in the United States, I encourage you to find out more about Save the Children United States, our member organization. They're based in Westport, Connecticut. The website is www.savethechildren.org. You can find a lot about the programs around the world supported by Save the Children U.S., including in Nicaragua and other places. And there is a link to make donations, and you can look at, you know, other ways to get involved as well, depending on what your interests are. People who speak Spanish, they can check out the country office, our country office website, Save the Children Nicaragua. It's www.savethechildren.org.ni.
Okay.
I believe. If not, you should be able to find it on Google, Save the Children Nicaragua. Now, our country office website is only in Spanish, but if you do know Spanish, it will talk about all of our programs, the programs that are supported by Save the Children United States, Save the Children Norway, Save the Children Spain, Save the Children Sweden, so a little more complete view of what we're doing in Nicaragua. The Save the Children U.S. website is focused on specifically on the program supported by Save the Children U.S., but you can find out about what we do all around the world and in a lot of different places.
Fantastic. Ben, it's been nice getting to know you a little bit, letting the folks hear about what you're doing in Nicaragua. Look forward to having some folks come down and check out what you're doing. So, this is Mike coming to you on the Overseas Radio Network, MikeSgringoLife.com. We'll be right back.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
You've decided that you want to move overseas for that quality of life experience you've always dreamed of. But you don't want to give up the best of back home. We agree. Things like high-speed internet, safe neighborhoods where you can stroll along a shaded sidewalk, a place where you know your neighbors and you have friends close by. These are important. Grand Pacifica Beach and Golf Resort gives you the best comforts of back home paired with the exceptional lifestyle only available south of the border. Imagine strolling along over 3 miles of secluded beach, playing a round of golf along the ocean, surfing a world-class break all the yourself, enjoying a fine meal on your balcony and toasting to another spectacular sunset. All this and more can be yours only an hour from Managua. Complete home and lot packages start under $100,000, and a nice home on the golf course is yours for the mid-twos. Come visit for a weekend and enjoy our oceanside golf course. Ride horseback on the beach, meet your future neighbors, and make some new friends. Grand Pacifica may be a place you'd like to call home. For more information, email Mike at MikeSgringoLife.com. That's Mike at MikeSgringoLife.com.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trust, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
Hey, Elaine told me you were going to Paris this spring. How did you swing that?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm going in May. Just can't wait.
Well, I'm totally jealous. How did you afford it? Europe seems so expensive right now.
Well, I read Girl's Guide to Paris.
What? What's that?
Joy, it's an online travel guide. And the cool new thing they have is a travel club, which I just joined. The club has something like 100 partners in Paris. All of their partners, including the hotel that I booked, give you either a special price or an upgrade or VIP treatment. And you know how I love to be treated like a queen.
So where are you staying?
I'm staying with my hubby at the Hotel Le Grand, and I'm saving like $200 on the week's stay. Plus, Don and I are going to do a cooking class together. It's like a second honeymoon.
Hey, now I know what to tell John to get me for my birthday.
Girls Guide to Paris.com. Click on Travel Club to learn more.
Please join us in congratulating RE/MAX Beaches and City for being the top-ranked, the number one RE/MAX real estate organization in all the thriving Republic of Panama. Are you looking for a change in scenery? Come to Panama and turn your frown upside down. For more info, visit us online at bcpan.com. That's bcpan.com. Or phone toll-free from the U.S. and Canada, 800-492-1888. Come live the good life in Panama.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Overseas Radio Network. This is Mike with Mike's Gringo Life coming to you from Managua, Nicaragua. In our last segment, we talked with Ben Phillips from Save the Children, doing some wonderful work here in Nicaragua, specifically with children, but some very neat programs making a big difference. And Ben, we thank you for what you're doing and what your organization is doing. And if folks want to get a hold of Ben, you know, savethechildren.org, we'll get you in the U.S. and you can connect through to Ben. So, again, thank you. We want to switch gears now and talk to Kent Payne, who is with Grand Pacifica. I am also with Grand Pacifica. I was one of the founders of the company and have lived here in Nicaragua for almost 10 years, Grand Pacifica being the specific reason that I moved here originally. But Kent came on board in 2006 as our vice president of sales for Grand Pacifica. And, you know, I mean, it was an interesting transition. Kent and I met at a sales conference at Tom Hopkins Boot Camp in Scottsdale, Arizona, back in 2005. And Kent, I'll let you tell that little story about how we met and why Grand Pacifica was a good fit for you. Welcome to the show, Kent.
Hey, thank you, Mike, and I hope the listeners get a chance to come down and visit sometime. We met at the conference, as you mentioned. I had taken my Spanish classes both in high school and in a little bit in college. Frankly, I wasn't a real good student anyway through, but I developed a real affinity for Latin cultures by working in the retail business out in West Texas. My Mexican friends call me Primo Blanco, which means white cousin. They said the only thing they needed to do a little bit, that I needed to do a little bit better, was get a better suntan and bring a green card so I could go into Mexico with them. But we had a good time. I developed a real a joy of being around Latin people with la vida libre, the free life and the enjoyment they have of family and holidays and all the great times. Me, I was blue suit, white shirt, striped tie for so many years that as I recognized I wanted to make a change in my life, we ended up, frankly, just investigating different places. We were in two or three Spanish-speaking countries, ruled out several. And then when I met Mike, he said, well, just come down and look around. When I walked on the property, it was during a shareholder meeting in January 2006. There were streets, there were street lights, there were fire hydrants, there were underground plumbing, underground electricity for all the utilities, internet services, everything already installed. Basically, I walked onto a property like I would in Edmond, Oklahoma, where I'm from, and having a brand new subdivision and having lots and lots of space to be able to help people enjoy a home. And so for the last 5 years, that's what we've done, is help people decide on what kind of home they want, what size, what's in the budget, and then work with local builders to make sure that we deliver the very, very best product that we can.
Indeed. And, you know, the only difference I would say is that in Edmond, you're about 1,000 miles from the beach, and at Grand Pacifica, you're, you know, 100 yards, a couple hundred yards, whatever. You know, the tell the listeners what makes Grand Pacifica just unique and different. I think the infrastructure, which you mentioned, really does do that. But there are probably some other things, too, that, you know, that are maybe less obvious than the streets and the street lights and those kinds of things. What is it about Grand Pacifica that really makes it a wonderful place to be? You live there full-time, and you've lived there full-time now for about four years.
And we we built, spent the first year building our home, and then have lived there full time for over four years now. The fact is that there are so many different things you can look at when you go to a country outside the United States. The important thing is that we didn't want to leave our creature comforts as such. And I'll be frank with you, playing golf is a passion, having some music, having good internet capability for communication skills. We have a system here in Nicaragua that you can buy a service. It runs less than a dollar a day if you buy 6 months at a time. I can call anywhere in North America or Canada via VoIP line and have pretty good service talking to the grandkids anytime we want. Or they can call Grandpa by dialing an Oklahoma number.
Right, and you've got to have pretty good bandwidth to be able to do that.
It's correct. And one of the things about the bandwidth, it's expandable by address. For example, we've got one gentleman that works for Cisco that is here from California, just finished his home. He's got family that grew up here. He's got mother and grandmother that still live in Nicaragua. And coming back, though, he had to have high-quality bandwidth up to and maybe even including trunk line capability. So, frankly, he can take his single address to his home and increase the bandwidth in such a way that he could actually set up a call center if he needed to.
I mean, just fascinating. And so that's great technology. It provides the technology people need today, and we take for granted. You know, one of the things you listeners have heard me talking a little bit about the 15 questions, and we're going to, you know, plow into those over the next, six, 8 months, and we'll take one at a time or however we get to them. But one of the things about the 15 questions generally is that there are just so many things we take for granted as North Americans that, you know, when we come to Latin America, we just can't take for granted. And Grand Pacific has been able to deliver on a lot of the promises that so many other folks have kind of just left as promises, haven't they?
Well, there's no question. You know, when we start talking about homes, I explain to people, look, we're building in an imperfect world with imperfect people, imperfect materials, but the things that we do take for granted, we try to make sure that these things are installed and a part of your home when the home is delivered. Case in point, we can actually show photographs of some of our companies that are built homes in other places that if you look under the cabinetry, it's got one hose that comes in, but yet the top has got two handles. So imagine standing in front of your bathroom lavatory, you got a left handle and a right handle, and back in the States, it's one's hot and one's cold. You come to Nicaragua and you go into a home that's not one of ours, by the way, but you turn the cold water on, you turn the hot water on, both waters come out. But you look underneath the sink, there's a Y that brings one water feed in and goes to both handles. So little things like that you wouldn't anticipate being an issue in most places in the United States because codes and inspections prevent those types of things. Here, you really have to have someone on site paying attention to what's going on and making sure that the home is delivered properly.
Indeed, and so again, coming back to those things that we just assume that we, you know, take for granted, a lot of our listeners are probably, you know, not big fans of Big Brother, but quite honestly, there are a lot of things that Big Brother does for us in the States that you know, we do take for granted, and without really doing our own due diligence and really digging in and knowing which questions to ask, we can get in trouble. In fact, folks that are listening, if you're interested, send an email to Mike at Mike's Gringo Life. Request the 15 questions in the subject line. We'll get those out to you. Very, very important due diligence questions. One of the other things that I think is sort of an assumption is the whole idea that if I purchase a lot in a development, that there'll be other homes around me at some point. One of the things we like to talk about, we don't like to talk about, but we have to talk about, are ghost towns. And so, Grand Pacifica is not a ghost town. Grand Pacifica is a community. But tell the listeners a little bit about the differences. What is a ghost town and what makes Grand Pacifica different?
We've had an opportunity to visit, obviously, other properties and other projects here in our country of Nicaragua. And looking around, you drive into a property and it's got a nice entrance and a guard at the gate. You get a chance to drive through and you start looking at the property and there's nothing built. The fact is there are lots and lots of empty lots. And I'm sure the lots are beautiful, but you've got one road that runs down. One runs along the beach so that the people could basically back up to the beach. The other side is on the other road with no infrastructure, no plumbing, and no electrical. I know that sometimes we make the inference, but it's really true. If you're interested in watching television from your car battery from now on, you get the three local channels by running your car battery and hooking your TV up. At Grand Pacifica, we've spent an inordinate amount of time slowly developing what can be expanded. For example, our water systems, our cable systems, and our internet is all put in to get everything started, yet we can expand on these as we do build the community. Right now we have about 35 homes that are completed. We've got more that are in process of discussion and on the drawing board. We've got 22 completed condos, and with another condo building that we hope is back on track before very long.
Indeed, and in fact, the condos are being rented out, and I think some of our guests later in the show, Chuck and Lauren, are thinking about getting married out at Grand Pacific. I know we just had a wedding out there this fall sometime, didn't we?
They had a huge wedding. Matter of fact, every possible rental was taken up by the huge family that came in. Indeed, we had to farm out some of the renters to other properties not too far from us. But when these people have a wedding, they have a party, and it was a wild night with fireworks and everything out at Grand Pacifica.
Indeed, and so in terms of amenities, obviously you've got the beach. It's beautiful, horseback riding. There's a golf course. You and your wife are big golfers. Talk a little bit about the golf course and your enjoyment of that.
Well, we're big golfers. We're avid golfers. We're not good golfers, but we do have a great time. The fact is that this golf course is a very interesting. It is not an easy course by any stretch of the imagination. There are 9 holes open, but we've got room for 27 holes in phase one. We're hopeful that as we continue to grow and as interest becomes more and more complete in our property, that we'll have more and more golfers coming down. 9 holes play right now with 14 different stations, which means you play several of the holes from different areas toward the same green. And right now, the golf course has got some tremendous promotions. Indeed, if you wanted to become a lifetime member for less than what it would take for an initiation fee and an entire year's worth of fees, you can own a golf course membership for the rest of your life.
Indeed. Well, tell the listeners here, we got about 1 minute left. Tell the listeners just quickly some of the price points of property and how to get a hold of you, Ken, if they're interested in coming down to take a look at what Grand Pacifica has to offer.
Pretty easy. Our home sites start at $19,900 in the Casita Village, which is only 500 meters from the beach, so it's just only a 10-minute walk. A completed home and lot in the Casita Village starts at $99,900. Going into Phase one, which is just slightly closer to the beach itself. Lots are large enough to incorporate not only a home, but a parking garage, pool, even a guest house. The price points there, with our current promotion, being run at 50% off the list price. That said, you're looking at $35,000 for a lot, and a lot and home can run about $120,000, and then condominiums start at $99,000 down near the water.
Fantastic. Well, if folks want to get a hold of you, they can send an email to mike@mikesgringolife.com, or they can check out grandpacifica.com. That's GRANPACIFICA, grandpacifica.com. This is Mike on the Overseas Radio Network. Look forward to chatting with you on the next segment. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.